Think we we're running a little bit late. Okay, you guys already know that. Today we're gonna talk about mental health. This is part two of the series that I started last week, and mental health, I think, is very important to the believer. Mental health is something that we don't talk enough about, mental health, the subject of mental health in the church. And I believe mental health hits closer home than many of us, including believers, that we would want to admit. It's something that is very, very real that we deal with in our day-to-day life and day-to-day operation, that if we really seek God and we approach the throne of God in the manner that we need to, seeking freedom, seeking hope, seeking healing, and that's the place where we can find it. That's the place where we can find that calm that we need in order to operate as believers, in order to operate in our day-to-day function even. And besides all of this, it's good to know that God cares about our mental state, our mental health, our mental being. He cares about our mental state so much so that he sent his son to give us, to purchase for us that freedom. That freedom of being that when we can say our mind is stayed on him. And that's our foundation scripture that we're going to use throughout this series. And we started that last week, and that was our primary focus. But we're going to bring it back each and every part of that series, okay? So we're going to be in this series for the next 4 weeks now, well, counting today. This was 5 weeks in the month of March. So this is week number two. So we got three more after this to go, and that's going to be the driving part of our series. And it says, you, referring to God, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast. Steadfast means stable, stable, healthy, unfazed. Cannot be changed by anything else that we might be experiencing in the natural. It's unfazed by any of that. Those whose mind is are steadfast because they trust in you. See, trust is an important factor when we talk about mental stability. So today I want to steer our focus on the role of the mind based on that promise, based on that promise of Isaiah. And this verse teaches us that we can steady our minds. We can steady our minds against racing thoughts. How many of you like, hey, you know what? It's like so much going on up here. It's like your mind, your thoughts are racing, and sometimes racing out of control. Out of control. It's like so much going on, and you get to the place where you are emotionally overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by maybe even task at work. There's so much stuff that a little something that comes in and triggers you to think about something that perhaps it's nothing at all when you think about it. When you stop and you think about it, it's like that was nothing. But yet again, in your mind, in your way of viewing things, it's something that is that kind of important in that time, in that mindset that you might be in at the moment, where it triggers you to go out of control, where you lose that steadiness of your mind, and before you know it, your thoughts are racing. Erasing so much so that he's out of control, number one, and then you're inviting in those negative thoughts to come in. Now, this is where you really lose every aspect of who you are, even your day-to-day function. You can lose all of that because those negative thoughts that are coming in, they're not from you. They're not from you. Those negative thoughts are coming in from the outside of whatever you are seeing or even experiencing in the natural. It might be even a phone call. A phone call from somebody that you don't even know. All of a sudden, that phone call is triggering you to think something that is so negative that it allows the enemy to step in. How many of you have ever been in a place where something triggers you, and then before you know it, it's like you are out of control? You've lost yourself emotionally and sometimes even spiritually. And it has an impact not just on the spiritual side, but also on your physical state, where sometimes you feel like you are paralyzed. You can't move forward. And in some extreme cases, some people can't even breathe. They feel like they are, I think I'm going to die. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And all of these are very real. I'm not saying this is, oh, this is fake. This is very real. This is the world that we live in. And we have to come to the place where we truly acknowledge that. It's called mental awareness. We got to be aware that we live in a world that those triggers are very, very real. And it happens right here in our minds. And our enemy, the devil, he wants to use our minds as his playground. As his playground. And the enemy wants to occupy that space, that little piece of real estate right here, right between our ears. It's a little piece of real estate, but the enemy is fighting for that real estate. He wants to occupy that place because in that place he's able to control. He's able to change the pattern, the way that you think, the way that you operate. He wants to change everything about you, including who you are in Christ, including your identity, your persona that God has created you as unique, different from anybody else. The enemy wants to come in and bring in that element of confusion. Well, you're confused about who you are. You cannot see yourself anymore as a child of God because the enemy is coming in. And the very first thing that is going to come and attack is that you are not worthy. You are not worthy. You're not good enough. You don't measure up. So when the enemy comes in with that level of lies, he comes and he wants to occupy that little piece of real estate. And in today's message, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk to you about the mental awareness. It's good to be aware that it is very real. But then at the same time, I want to give you some practical tools. Because, you know, we can't really preach a message about this is what the Word of God is saying and make you aware of the problem, but not really give you anything that is practical that you can apply in your day-to-day life as you need to operate. I need this as much as you need it. Like I shared last week, a lot of times when we think about us being Christian, if we talk about our mental state, we don't want to talk about it, number one, because if we talk about it, it's a sign of weakness. You're weak if you talk that, hey, you know what? It's real. It's a real thing. This is something that I personally, myself, I've struggled with. And I'm getting to the place where I'm understanding a little bit more about what it really means to be mentally aware that there is an enemy out there that wants to occupy this space in my mind and wants to take control over my thoughts, my action, my reactions. So understanding that and being aware of this puts me in a better place. Number one, I know. I know better. I know the Word of God. I know what God says about me. I know what God says, that I can overcome those thoughts, and I don't need to let those thoughts overcome me. So when I'm aware, I'm in a better position to fight when I'm in a battle. When I'm facing a difficult situation, I'm in a better position simply because I'm aware. So Paul, explains to us this level of awareness that we need to have as believers. How many of you would agree this is a good place to start? When we truly aware that there is an enemy that wants to occupy this space, and we're not going to let him do it. So Paul says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And he warns us about what is going on in our minds. Because a lot of times we're like, oh, I don't know what's going on up here. But he wants us to know what is going on up here, so that we can fight when the enemy comes and attacks us in the middle of the night. Or attacks us in whatever day-to-day task that we're doing, and all of a sudden the enemy just shows up and paralyzes us. Paul says it this way. He says, we are humans. That's a good place to start. See, we're not perfect. We are humans, but we don't wage war as humans do. We are humans, but we should not be fighting this battle like we're fighting in our natural way of understanding. Last week we talked about this, that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities of this dark world. So we're not fighting against our spouse. Check. We're not fighting against our boss at work. Check. We're not fighting against our kids, our children. Check. We're not fighting against this uncle, this aunt. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. So the battle is not against you and I, against flesh and blood, but the battle against the enemy. We do not have to use weapons in the natural sense to fight this enemy. So that's why Paul is saying we don't wage war as humans do. So we're watching Iron Man, and you know there's a lot of weapons in that. So all the weapons that Iron Man brought out is irrelevant to this battle. No matter how much we're going to bring in to fight, this thing in the natural sense is not going to work. We need a different kind of weapon. We need a weapon that is God-approved. God-approved kind of weapon. That Almighty is what the Word of God says. He says we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning. To destroy the false arguments, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. See, that's the plan of the enemy. The plan of the enemy is to stop you from knowing God. From knowing God, that God is with you. Greater is he that is in you than he that lives in the world. That's your overcoming statement. That's your overcoming power that you need to know first and foremost, is that greater is he who is in you than the enemy that is coming and are trying to attack you right there. So you got to know this. So because that's an obstacle. Is what this is saying. It says, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. From knowing God. And then he goes on, Paul is saying, we capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. We catch those thoughts that are coming, racing emotions. We capture those rebellious thoughts and we teach them to obey Christ. The number one thing that Paul is bringing to our attention is that we are at war. We are at war. And he's saying we are humans, but we don't wage war as humans do. It's not a physical battle that we are engaged in, but a spiritual one, and this is the battlefield. The battlefield is right here. And the problem with humanity is this. The enemy has led humanity to believe for the longest time that the mind is a neutral ground. It's a neutral ground. Basically, what I mean by that is that you can have any kind of thoughts that you want. You can think about anything that you want. We use the term, be a free thinker. No consequences whatsoever. That's a lie of the enemy. That is a straight lie of the enemy. He wants you to believe that because he wants to come and use your mind as a playground. And he wants you to believe that, you know, you can think about anything. There's no consequence whatsoever. But your thoughts, they lead to actions. They lead, if you ponder on a thought for a long period of time, guess what? It's going to lead into an action. It's going to trigger you to do something about what you're thinking about. Say, for example, you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Lindsay's time, okay? You wake up, Lindsay goes to, I mean, he's crazy. He goes to work out at 2:30 in the morning. So say you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And you think about this piece of German chocolate cake, okay? Nice little slice of cake that you put aside and you put that in the fridge. And you wake up in the morning and you think about this piece of cake. Say you think about this same piece of cake for about 10 minutes. What's going to happen? And you keep thinking about this, oh, that nice piece of chocolate cake. Oh, man, that was so good last night. And there's one piece staying. Oh, no, if I don't wake up now and eat this, you know, Isaiah's going to wake up. He's going to be the first one getting this piece of cake. And you start thinking about all this stuff. And you're like, you know what? Let me just go take a bite. Your thoughts, if they are not harnessed, will develop an appetite. Maybe not just for German chocolate cake, but for other things. If they are not properly harnessed by the Word of God, your thoughts would lead to action. You would do something about this, and that German chocolate cake, mind you, is not going to stay in the fridge for very long. It's going to find itself in your belly. So your thoughts will develop an appetite. And if you don't harness this, this appetite is going to go out of control. Now you can take this and apply it into every aspect of your life. You can develop of your thought life. You can develop an appetite for any kind of stuff that is out there. TikTok is a great appetite that you can develop where you can't put that phone down. Leads to an action, doesn't it? Before you know it, you just, you're just like this. It's 3 o'clock in the morning and you just keep going because it's a digital fentanyl. Is that the term that we hear nowadays? It's like this digital appetite that we've developed where our minds cannot stop but keep on feeding it even more and even more and even more. Technology has that ability to do this. See, the enemy is finding new ways to occupy this space. You know, it's no longer you're going to watch a movie anymore. It's no longer you're going to listen to a song and you're going to let that song occupy your mind. Now we live in a digital age where it's right there on the palm of your hand, where you can be totally addicted, mind consumed, and all of this kind of stuff just because you want to feed it. Your thoughts are, they develop a strong appetite. I'm going to talk, say a little bit about myself there. Micah taught me this, I said, Dad, there's this game called Block Blast. How many of you know Block Blast? So it's a game where kind of like Tetris. Okay, you guys know Tetris, the classic game Tetris. But Block Blast is a little bit easier, I think, than Tetris. The block is coming down. Guess what? It's like addictive. Super addictive. It's like you keep going and keep going. I'm on level 70 and I can't stop. I can't stop that. Guess what? It's contagious too. Now that I've done it, Kyler's got hooked on it. Don's got hooked on it. I mean, the boys are hooked on this thing, and we are comparing scores now. It's addictive. Your thoughts, they lead to action. And you keep going. If you don't put a proper harness, proper guardrail around it, guess what's going to happen? It's going to cause you to do things that probably should not be doing. You could use your time doing something else rather than spend your time doing things or feeding whatever the enemy wants you to think, because your thoughts have a consequence. Your thoughts lead to action. In science, they call this cognitive behavior. So in psychology, they've developed this science around that, where they're recognizing cognitive behavior can affect, I don't know, many things in your life. They can affect, they are associated with eating disorders even. They are associated with relational challenges, addiction, depression, anxiety. All these are rooted based on negative pattern of thinking. Now, this is science, right? But let me give you the Word of God. See, science is in agreement with the Word of God. They don't, you know, they have more in common than what we give it credit. Science goes along perfectly well with the Word of God. In Proverbs 4:23, this is what it says. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So your thoughts, they lead to the way that you behave. That's the Word of God. I know in science we're talking about cognitive behavior, where you see the correlation between the cognitive behavior with the way, I mean, distress and anxiety and many other things. But the Word of God is actually saying the same thing. Your thought life, they shape your life. Your actual life, the way that you conduct yourself. And, I mean, following the science is something that we talk about. I don't know if you remember COVID, the COVID years, you know, when we're talking about, you know, follow the science. Follow the science. Yeah, I mean, we followed the science. I mean, you know, landed us in a nice place. But here's what you follow, okay? You follow the science. I love science, okay? Follow this narrative, you know, all this kind of stuff. I'm okay with that. But let me tell you something that you can hold on to. Follow the Word of God. God's narrative will never change. Culture will come and change other things, but the Word of God will always stay constant. Always stay the same. So when you look at the Word of God that was given to us here, this scripture in Proverbs 4:23 was given to us 3,000 years ago, but still very relevant to you and I today. So that's important. It's important to know the Word of God and allow the Word of God to shape who we are as believers, who we are as His creation. And number two is, beware of strongholds. From that scripture, he says, Paul is saying, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons. We're going to come back to this later on. But Paul is bringing to our attention the stronghold of the enemy. See, we need to know that. We need to know that the enemy wants to establish occupation in our minds, and he wants to establish something called a stronghold in our mind. And the stronghold is human reasoning and false arguments. Human reasoning and false arguments. A stronghold is a military term where we would say it's the enemy's hiding place. That's a stronghold. A stronghold is a place where the enemy can find a place of refuge for him, for the enemy, to come, occupy, dictate, and control. It's like it's, what's that word that I'm looking for? Control tower. A stronghold is like a tower. From that place, the enemy would control thoughts, will control your reasoning. You would say and do stuff that don't make sense. But that's the part that the enemy wants to control. Ideas, concepts, cultures. Can I add a word there with cultures? The enemy wants to occupy cultures and change the way that you think. Nowadays, we use the word woke, right? That's something that is very real for us. But, you know, this is not a new word. This is something that was, I think it was back from the 1970s that was created, the woke culture. It was created in a good way. It was a sense of belonging, to seek social justice on many fronts. Very, very true. We need that. In fact, Prophet Isaiah talked about social justice in terms of taking care of the widows, taking care of the orphans, taking care of the people that are needy. All of these are part of that woke culture, which is very good. But here's what is wrong about what the enemy has done with that awakening. Woke means a little bit awaken. Awaken to what the enemy is doing. The enemy has craftily used that woke culture to steer us away from what is true, from what is real, from what the Word of God is saying. So, example, if God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made, guess what the enemy is going to do? No, you're not. It's simple as that. No, you're not. The enemy wants to create this element of confusion about who you are. It'll start there. If you don't know who you are, you don't know that you're an overcomer. If you don't know who you are, you don't know that Christ lives inside of you. That Christ, the Prince of Peace, that what we talk about, that perfect peace, right? If you don't know that the Prince of Peace lives inside of you, you don't have perfect peace. Because he's the only one who's perfect, complete, lacking nothing. So in order for you to have peace, you need to have the Prince of Peace. Without the Prince of Peace, you don't know peace. When you know Christ as the Prince of Peace, at that point, that peace that surpasses all understanding, as what Paul says, will guard your hearts and your thoughts. So you can't steer away from Christ. So what if the enemy comes in and said, you know what? You remember what you did in your past, and that's going to be with you forever. Wherever you go, you will not be forgiven. That's what the enemy would want to do. But Christ says, come just as you are. And in my place, in my presence, you would find hope, forgiveness of your sin. You would no longer be part of your past. I'm giving you a brand new destiny. See, this is what God says, but the enemy will say something that would totally be against what the Word of God says in His Word. And if you believe those lies long enough, it's like you're giving the enemy a blueprint. A blueprint. A blueprint to act and do whatever pleases him. See, the blueprint that God has given to us is His Word. That's what we know how to act, how to operate as believers. We always go back to the Word of God. See, God here has given to you and I mighty weapons. Mighty weapons to knock down those strongholds. Those strongholds that we talk about. Human reasoning. When we tear down those strongholds, so that's the place where we receive our victory. So I want to spend the rest of our time here talking about those weapons, because this is the part where we can put it into practical terms. What do we need to truly be an overcomer right here in our mental health? Because we need that. We need this reassurance that we can have freedom in our minds. We don't have to let the enemy come to steal, kill, and destroy. Not here. We can say, no, no more. No more. I am free. I've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He lives and rules and reigns inside of me. And today, I'm making a stand against whatever the enemy wants to do. I'm standing against his plan. I'm standing against his schemes. And I'm going to use God's mighty weapon in order to do this. Number one is praise and worship. This morning was a perfect example. I mean, you know, technology was not working. And we were like, okay, should we just skip praise and worship and jump right into this message? And you know what I felt? I don't care if the message is shorter, but we must have praise and worship. I don't care if I stand there for 5 minutes and I just pray for you guys and we are done because of time. But praise and worship is so important. And I think this is number one. Praise and worship sets the tone for everything. When you start there, it allows God's presence to come in. And I would say for you guys, like in a practical sense, whenever you have your alone time with God, start there. Start with worship. Start with putting something just to clear the air. You know, the enemy is called the prince of the air. So when you put praise and worship, guess what the enemy must do? He can't occupy the same room where the presence of God is. So when you turn on your music, your worship music, or if you're able to sing like I can, you just turn that thing on, okay? And you stop worshiping God. And when you do, you are clearing the air. The prince of the air is departing, and the presence of God is coming in. Psalm 22 verse 3 says, He inhabits the praises of his people. The moment you turn that on, guess what? The presence of God is coming in because you carry his presence. And when you're singing and you're giving him praise, it's like this invitation for the Holy Spirit to say, you know what? I'm welcome in this place. They would set aside anything just to worship me. That's how we invite God in. We worship him. No matter how much I can talk about all of this, if the presence of God is not here, it's like you've left out the main audience. He is the main audience. It's all about him. When we worship, when we talk about the message, it's all about Christ. Can you imagine if I'm delivering a perfect message, but Christ was not even invited in? That would be a shame. That would be a waste of my time and waste of your time if Christ is not present. He's not even invited in. So everything that we do is for his glory. You're living your life for his glory. You're raising your children for his glory. When Christ is invited in, there is that element of peace. When you start praising Christ, it's like you become that thermostat in the room. It changes the atmosphere just like that. You can step into a terrible, like a very intimidating kind of meeting. And because you're carrying the presence of God and you've prayed up, and when you show to this meeting, guess what? You change the atmosphere completely. Because you're here. And because you are here, the presence of Almighty God is here as well. So praises, they'll push back the walls of darkness in your mind. See, if you're feeling like, oh man, the pressure, so much pressure is coming in and I can't find a way out, start with praise and worship. Start there. The walls of darkness will push back when you do this. So try it out this week. Try it out during any time of when you're feeling like, oh, I can't. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He lives inside of me. Greater is he who is in me that lives in the world. Start there. Start reminding yourself who you are. And don't stop there. Just, you know what, I'm going to turn some praise and worship music on. I'm going to saturate myself in the presence of God, because the Word of God says he inhabits the praises of his people. That's the promise that God has given to me. And I believe that. The moment you do this, freedom will come in. That sense of peace will come in. Number two is the Word. That's a strong weapon. The Word of God. You don't have to take ownership over every thought that is coming in. They're not all yours, by the way. Not everything that is coming in here are your thoughts. They only become your thought when you take ownership of it. But you don't have to. You don't have to take ownership of every single thing that is coming in. You'll be overwhelmed if you do. Can you imagine? If you allow everything to come in, you'll be overwhelmed. Don't take ownership over things that don't belong to you. Let go. Let somebody else have it. Let the enemy have those thoughts that are coming in. They're not yours. Don't make it yours. Say you're having a negative thought that is coming in. Don't say, oh, you know, I feel so bad. I'm thinking about this. They were never yours to start with. They were never yours. The enemy has a funny way of bringing this in. But put a guardrail. Let the Word of God come and become this guardrail that would block out things that don't belong. The Word of God says this in Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is alive. How about having this as your sword? It's alive. It's alive. It's powerful. Don't underestimate the power of the Word of God. If you must write it down somewhere in front of your computer, you have a word that is in front of you every time when you're thinking about something. It's like right there. Oh, that's the Word of God. That's my guardrail. If something doesn't belong, I'm going to allow this guardrail to keep me in line. To keep my thoughts in line, because the Word of God says it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, exposing the inner thoughts and desires. See, the Word of God can expose, it can reveal, this is not yours. Don, this is not your thought. So don't take ownership over this one. Let me give you a brand new thought. Let me let you think about this one, because this comes from me. See, God can deposit thoughts in your mind about those creative ideas that you have, that you're like, oh man, that is God. I'm telling you, this came from God. This is not me. That came from God. I've had many ideas like that where I'm like, oh my goodness. That must be God. This is so good. That came from God. See, allow those, feed on those thoughts that are coming from Him. See, that It's the Word of God is a powerful discerner. Is that a word? Yeah, discerner of whether that's a good one or a bad one. So in a practical sense, how do you do it? How do you keep that word coming in? Read the word. Read it. Consume it. Meditate on it. This is something that many generations ago, that was so, the primary focus was on reading the word. In some churches, they read the word as an opening part of their service. All of these are good. Start your day like this. Start your day opening the word or getting it on your phone, whichever means that you have. Put it on. In the workplace where I'm working, I'm in front of my computer, I have my little mini pad and I've got the Bible. Sometimes I just put it on. Put it on and it's going and I can hear it in the background. That doesn't mean I'm not doing my job. But you hear it, it fills the atmosphere. It changes the air around you because the Word of God is playing in the background. When our kids were little, Isaiah, we did it with all five of our children. When we laid them down to sleep, we'll have praise and music, praise and worship music playing in the background. It changes the atmosphere. It occupies that place that needs to be occupied by Christ himself. And it doesn't allow the enemy to come in. So the Word of God is very powerful. This week I was preparing and getting ready to go to work. And I use the Bible app, Daily Devotion. That's my thing every morning. That's the very first, not the very, very first thing, but as I'm going down in my office, I've got this in front of me, and I just do this daily devotion. It's kind of like my vitamin in the morning, you know. I don't have very much time to go and, you know, and read and do all this stuff, but it's my go-to in the morning. I'm having my cup of coffee and I have the Bible app and I'm reading the scripture. I'm listening to the 1 minute devotion that they have. And this came on this week. As if the Bible app knew that I was preaching a message on mental health. Proverbs 12:25. And I remember writing this down on my way to work. I'm like, I'm going to focus on this because that's a pretty good one. See, you're going to come across good ones like that. Depending on your situation, who knows your situation better than yourself and the Holy Spirit? He can make that connection in your life. Whatever you might need in that day, in that week, the Holy Spirit, when it's invited in, would be able to steer certain things to drop in on your lap. And you're like, oh, that's an accident. It's not. It's by divine appointment that these things drop in your lap. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Now that's a good word. That's a good word for many of us. Knowing that anxiety on the heart can cause depression. It's a way of acknowledging that if you're anxious about so many things, you'll be depressed. But when you allow the Word of God to come in, a good word, and you feed on that word, you meditate on that word, it'll make your heart glad. I want to have a glad heart. I don't want to have a depressive heart. It affects everybody around you when you're like, oh man, it's like I just got to go to church today. I got to wake up at 6 o'clock. No, I get to do this. I get to go to work. It's good, honest work. It's good. It's good for me. It's good for my family. It's good for everybody. So when you go with that kind of mindset, it sets the tone. You don't have to be moody. You can be glad. Because a good word makes you glad. So find a good word in the morning. Find a good word. Let that be your vitamin in the morning. Feed on that word and allow the word to keep going and keep you pushing forward. Number three, the weapon that I'm going to talk about is prayer. Prayer is important. Don't over-spiritualize prayer. Please don't do that. Don't think that you must be in a certain way. No, just have a chat with God. Just talk to Him. Open up your heart and be real. Be honest. Talk to God. That's your prayer. James says the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Wonderful results. Would you please stand? I know we've covered a lot of ground. And that's the purpose of this series, is to take the Word of God and allow the Word of God to challenge us so that we can grow. We don't have to struggle in this area of mental health, not as believers, because we know better. We know better. The enemy wants to come and say, you shouldn't dabble in that area. No. No, we need to. The church needs to be open about this. It's not the job of, a secular world to actually tell us about our mind. The Word of God can tell us about our mind. And we can give our minds to Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. We thank you for your freedom that even now that I can feel in this place. Lord, I pray over each and every one here. That there is freedom in their minds. Freedom in their thought life. That your word would be this guardrail around them. That your word would lead and guide them. That as they worship you in the morning, Lord God, your presence would be made known. As they spend time with you in prayer, talking to you, that you will reveal to them how important they are. How much you love them. How much you long for them each and every day. We give you praise and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here on this beautiful Sunday. Mm-hmm.